Blog Talk Radio.
Pulling it out, it all falls down. I'm telling you, love.
Many people believe that the blessings of the Lord are based on monetary wealth and material possessions. Is this true? And if not, what are the blessings of the Lord according to the scriptures? We welcome you to join us as we examine the scriptures to see what God says concerning these issues. That is, if you can handle the truth. All right, shalom everybody. Most High in the name of Christ bless you. We thank you for tuning in to another episode of our show. And as you see, the topic today will be the blessings of God. And today I have a special guest with me, one of my brothers from Atlanta. Brother Kadar, say something to the people, please.
Hey, shalom, brothers and sisters. Glad to be here. Glad to be able to share the Most High's word. And according to his mercy, let us come and bring forth the word according to the scriptures.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, so, you know, we going into a topic of this because, as everybody know, that in this world we have been flooded with lies and flooded with misunderstandings about how God feels and what God wants from us, and the way people are worshiping God in this world and the things people are doing, thinking that they are doing works of righteousness, is totally contrary to the scriptures. So what we're going to do, we're going to examine the scriptures and look at certain things that the scriptures say about the blessings of the Most High. And before we get into really hitting the scriptures concerning the blessings, what I really want us to look at is because in this world there's a misconception of what blessings are. And the basic way people feel, it seems to me, from what, you know, from my understanding and from what my experience, even myself, before I started really dealing with the scriptures, you know, you're looking for God to give you things and bless you. It's somewhat like God is your servant more than you being his servant. You know what I'm saying? You're looking for God to do everything for you, but in return, you don't do nothing that he wants or nothing that he says. And that's really the mindset of the world. You got anything on that, Kadar?
Well, I mean, and that is the mindset of the world, and that's why you see you got some people that lose faith and they get angry because they come to the Most High and they say, you know, I want you to do this and that for me. I want you to bless me this way. I want you to bless me that way. And when it doesn't happen, then they get upset. So really the Most High is showing them that the reason why that happens to them is because they're asking for a lot of stuff for the wrong reasons, and they're asking for things, and they're asking for these things out of lust. And I'm going to read, this is James chapter 4, jumping right into it, and we'll start at verse 1, and I'll read the 3. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and to desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So, of course, the point is in verse 3, because a lot of these people think they can just ask the Lord for whatever. I want a new car. I want a big house. I want a diamond ring. I want a girl with a banging body. These are the things that you hear people praying for in foolishness. But he said, what? You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, meaning you're asking for the wrong reasons. And what are those reasons? What are the wrong reasons that you're asking for? That ye may consume it upon your lust. So that's the whole thing going into what you were going into, like that world mindset that sadly, even though this scripture shows that we're not supposed to be that way, this is what's in the churches right now. And it's even amongst some of us that don't know that are not going according to what the scriptures say, but we're not supposed to deal in that way at all.
Yeah, I'm glad you pulled out that scripture, because that was one of the first scriptures I was about to hit. So that was the spirit. Give it all praises. Because what people do, and I know, like I was saying before, me myself, you know, before I really had the understanding of Christ, I was asking the Most High for things, and I wasn't getting it, and I'll be angry with God. I'll be angry with God because he's not giving me what I'm asking for, but I haven't did one thing that the scripture said or even looked to do anything that God said. And the things I was asking for wasn't necessity, but it was things like the scripture said to consume in my lust, you know, just things that my flesh, my own fleshly desires. Matter of fact, read verse 4 for me in that.
It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
So we look at that scripture, and first thing we, you know, one may ask is, why is God referring to these people as adulterers and adulteresses? Because we know we're supposed to be married to the Most High, and when we are worshiping idols, which is what people are doing out there is idolatry. We are committing adultery against the Most High because we're supposed to be married to Christ. We're supposed to be putting on a spiritual mindset, not a carnal mindset or a worldly mindset. And matter of fact, to back that up, let's go to St. John's to see why it says, know ye not that the friendship world is an enmity with God. Let's go to 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15.
All right, the book of 1 John, 2nd chapter, verse 15. It reads, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
And that's what it all boils down to, because like the scripture said in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because people are asking for things for those reasons right there, because of their flesh, because of pride. They want to show off to people. You know, they're worrying about having a bunch of material things. It's all about what you look like in the eyes of men. You know, material possession. And when people get all these material possessions, they become what? Filled with pride. You know, and that's what we see going on in the world. But the Most High does not want us operating like that. You got something you want to say, brother?
I mean, bro, it's just, you know, 1 John, if you just jump over to 1 John 5 and 19, and I'll get it and read it real quick.
I'll get it.
All right. 1 John 5 and 19.
All right, it reads, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness.
So when we look at the way that this whole world is set up, even many of the churches, they're now set up in wickedness, because they're refusing to come to Christ and deal with what Christ is showing us to deal with. So now what do you see happening in the world? We just read about how we're not to love this world, neither the things that are in this world. But when we look at a lot of the churches, whether you call yourself an Israelite or whether you call yourself a so-called Christian or whether you call yourself Muslim or whatever you into, a lot of these churches are now set up where it's all about the riches. And it's all about showing how much you have and your carnal possessions. And people feel like the more carnal possessions that they have, that they're blessed in that. And the Most High is saying you're not blessed in that. That's not what you're supposed to be looking for. That's not the goal of your life. That's not the way we're supposed to be dealing. But this whole world, the way it lies in wickedness, that's what they're promoting now. Even in the churches, all they're saying is if you don't have money, then the Lord is not blessing you. But we're going to find out as we go into the scriptures a little deeper that it's much more than what than just that.
Exactly, exactly. Let's go to Matthew's real quick. Matthew's the 13th chapter. I want to look at, let's start at verse 22.
All right. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. It says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
So the scripture says, he also that receives seed, the seed is talking about the word, among thorns, is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world. Now, that's what the thorns are, the cares of this world, which is what? Going into the same thing we read in John's, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the deceitfulness of riches, because that's what people are wanting the riches for, is for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It says the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful, meaning that he doesn't grow in this knowledge and learn to apply and put on the examples that we're supposed to be learning from Christ. So because of that mindset, he becomes unfruitful in the gospel. So that's the scripture showing us that's a very dangerous mindset for us to have, is that cardinal mindset, because a lot of people are looking for material things and that cardinal mindset as the blessings that the scriptures is talking about when it's contrary to that. Go ahead, read on. Go ahead, brother.
So read on in 23?
No. I thought you had something to say. You was about to say something.
Bro, it's like, you know, when we go into these scriptures, a lot of times we talk about the churches, but it also happens amongst us that know better. Because here it is, we're teaching the words, we're teaching the commandments, and you see different brothers and sisters that, you know, they may have lived dangerous, wicked lifestyles, and they've repented from those things. But then they never really received that word in the good fashion to give them that firm ground, that rooted, because that one that has that seed, the way he's receiving it, amongst the thorns, he's not deeply rooted into these scriptures. So when opportunities for money come and opportunities to get riches and the carnal possessions of this world, they run away, because you've seen brothers that come in, and one brother in particular that I think of, man, he learned these scriptures and he was struggling when he first came, and he was practically homeless. No, he was homeless. And he took a job that was paying like $5 an hour. That tells you how long ago it was. And within months, as he was learning and repenting, he got a job for $10, $15. Finally, he got a job for like $20-something dollars an hour. And as soon as he got that was all he needed, he left the truth. He left. He went back into the world because what? The cares of riches in this world choked the word, and he became unfruitful in the knowledge and the wisdom of Christ. So a lot of times we look at the churches and how they do it, but brothers and sisters that know better, they better take heed to these warnings too, because if we're not abiding in the scriptures and doing what the scriptures are telling us to do, that same thing that choked the word, the cares of this life, the affairs of this world, and the things that people get caught up in, my job, my life, and all that, it can choke this word, and you will become unfruitful, which means you're on the way to dying in this truth.
That's a real excellent point, brother, because another thing that also happens, you know, that goes along with that is a lot of times, you know, people are looking at material things and you know, getting their piece of the pie of this world. And what happens is they don't realize, you know, because they're not receiving certain things that this world has, or certain of the things pertaining to the riches of this world, a lot of times people think that they're not being blessed, which is contrary to you know, the truth, because we know that we that are in this knowledge are greatly blessed, and that's what we're going to read about. And, you know, we're going to read some examples of that, on how, you know, because of our lust, sometimes we don't even see the blessings that the Most High has bestowed upon us, you know?
Yeah.
Let's go from there. Let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter. Because there's an example here where Christ is dealing with Satan, and he gives us a great example. And he quotes something out of the Old Testament. I want us to really examine this, because I want us to also examine what he quoted and what was going on in that time with the children of Israel. And we want to learn from that example. This is Luke. I want to jump right in it. Let's start at Luke, fourth chapter, the fourth verse. Luke 4
and 4. Luke 4 and verse 4?
Yes, brother.
Luke 4 and 4. And Jesus answered them, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God."
All right, we're going to examine that verse, because he said it is written. He's talking about in the Old Testament. We're going to examine that. But before we do that, I want us to read on to verse we're going to read all the way through to verse 8, because really Satan's coming at him the same way again. Go ahead, read on, brother.
All right. In verse 5, "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve."
So we've seen this scripture tells us a lot, because one of the things that the scripture tells us, because we read in 1 John the second chapter, verse 15 and 16, where it talks about all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And now we're reading that Satan is saying that this world is given unto him, and that he has the power to bless you with all these things. He has the power to give you glory and riches in this world. That's what he's telling Christ. And we know from, you know, right now in the information age, and different videos you can find on YouTube and things of that nature, it tells you a lot of the people in this world that have the riches of this world, that have riches and power. Matter of fact, the people that are running this world are worshipers of Satan. So,
yes, indeed.
So we can tell that this scripture is definitely a fact. So Satan can bless people with glory in this world. Satan can bless people with riches in this world. So because somebody has riches, does that mean that they received it of God? Because he said, look, in verse 7, he said, "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." So it's crystal clear that Satan has the power to bless people with riches in this world if they worship him. Because there's only two people you worship, and either you're worshiping God or you're worshiping Satan.
Yeah.
So if you don't have nothing to add on, let's look at verse 4, where Christ says, verse 4, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So
and
where was
and
that
you know,
written at? Yeah, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
No, I was going to kind of touch on that and touch back to the other point, because remember how you was going into the whole point about Satan is offering Christ everything. He said, "If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything." And people think that, you know, you got people that will believe that, oh, well, that's the same thing he's offering to everybody that's in this earth that they serve me. No, it's not. If that's being offered to Christ because he knew he had to sway him heavily. But he's doing, people are doing the same thing on this earth right now. They're giving into Satan so they can have a little bit of riches. But how do they do it? They're doing it in the manner of, okay, I got a high-powered job in Hollywood. I'm an actress. If I have a baby, then I can't work anymore. So I'm going to serve Satan by committing the sin of murder, kill this baby so I can continue to make riches in Hollywood.
Mm.
Or you got a drug dealer, another form of murder, watching his people wither away or killing his people on the street or killing them directly even with the drugs. And he's saying what? Yo, these people here, I want money. I got to get paid. So what will they do? They sell out their brothers and sisters, kill them, murder them with these drugs, and do these evil acts just so they can get a little piece of blessing from Satan. You have people that will... You got people like, for example, that will have an opportunity to get a certain job. But in order to get the job, they have to have sex with someone, fornication or adultery or both, or homosexuality. And there will be people that will bow down to Satan, commit those sins just so that they can make a little bit of money on this side. See, he's not going to give the whole world to the Joe Schmo on the corner. Satan deals with people according to the power and the influence that they have in this world. So the more influence that they have, when they bow down and serve Satan, then they get a little bit more than the rest of the people do. And it's happening every single day. So some of us look at Christ and say, oh, well, that's Christ. But no, you got people in their daily lives bowing down and serving Satan through greed, through lust, through murder, through fornication, just so that they can get a little bit of this wicked society that we're living in. And the Most High is not pleased with that. So you wanted me to read back to verse 4?
Yeah, I'm going to add on to what you were saying, too, because they show you that in Hollywood, too. A lot of people, to become famous in this world, whether in the music industry, in the film industry, they will commit certain acts which are contrary to God, which are unlawful to God and the commandments of God, so they can get that fame and get that position or get that record deal. So they will commit these acts just so they can get some money and get that fame and glory in this world and yet condemn themselves with the Heavenly Father in Christ.
Yep.
That's very true. And that, you know, that plays out in many ways, man. Many ways people sell out to Satan, you know, and go against the commandments of God. So if you, once you're going against the commandments of God, you are serving Satan. So you can accomplish the things, the material cardinal things that you want to accomplish, and not doing the things that the Most High wants you to do and waiting for the Most High to deliver you out of your situation. Yeah,
yeah,
so that's... Yeah, you have something else, brother?
No, I was saying that's true, bro. That's very true.
So let's read verse 4 again and examine what Christ is talking about here in verse 4.
So Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
All right.
And the
so
devil
that,
taking him.
No, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
Because I want to check out where Christ is talking about when he said it is written, because there's something that took place why that was written. And let's go back. We're going to read a few scriptures in the Old Testament to examine what took place. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And I want to start at verse 2. We got an echo back there, brother. You know what's causing that?
Hey, let me try something. How's that now?
Sound much better.
All right. So I'm going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. And verse 3.
Now, let's start at verse 2.
Verse 2, sorry. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, or that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Read verse 4 with that.
Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years.
So in these 40 years, the Most High was proving the children of Israel, and their remnant didn't wax old. They, in that 40 years, neither did their feet swell, dwelling in the wilderness those 40 years. But he had to humble them coming out of Egypt, because there were certain things that were taking place. Let's go to Numbers 11 to see what was going on. But I want us to remember that their remnant didn't wax old, neither did their feet swell, because that shows you right there that they were being blessed. They were being blessed. The Most High was with them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, Numbers 40, look, matter of fact, start at verse 1. The point I want is further down, at, starting at 4, but let's start at 1 anyway.
So Numbers 11, verse 1?
Yes.
Okay, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it,
so
and his anger
right
was kindled.
We see something going on that the people are complaining. The Most High God is with them. He brought them out of Egypt with great power, opened up the Red Sea, dwelling right there with them, and they complaining, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on.
It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat?
So you have the people that was coming out, the mixed multitude fell a-lusting. And Israel went and did the same thing again. They started following them, and they started lusting, and they started complaining all over again. So let's read what their complaint was about.
Verse 5, we remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes.
So they were unhappy because the Most High was feeding them with manna, but yet they forgot all the great works that the Most High was doing for them. They forgot everything that the Most High was doing, and they were worrying about their lust and not realizing the great blessings that were being given to them. Let's go, matter of fact, to highlight that some more, go to Psalms 106:13.
Hey, you know what's also wicked about that, as we go to Psalms 106? There's another scripture, and I can't remember where it is right now, but it talks about the flavor of the manna and how the flavor of the manna was so good, the way the Most High made it, because it was a spiritual bread, that it tempered itself to whatever, whoever was eating it, to what they liked. So It tasted good to them regardless, but what did they want to do? They wanted to complain and complain. Why? Because it was about fulfilling their lust. And when you look at any lust that we deal with, people could never have enough of that thing, whatever it is. Whether if you lusting after a woman, you get one woman, you go after another. Whether it's money, you get money, you got to have more and more money. We have to learn how to deal with the blessings that the Most High gave us and not going into this lust that we see our people go into when they don't understand how the Lord is blessing them day to day. So we're at Psalms 106
exactly.
What now?
That's an excellent point. Matter of fact, read verse 13.
Psalms 106 and 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but loved
it. Hold on. Yeah, go ahead. Read 14 with it.
But loved it exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert.
So, all right. So it says they soon forgot his works. Because we got to learn from that, because this shows us a great example, because they forgot all the great things that the Most High did for them coming up in Egypt and coming out of Egypt. They forgot all the great works that the Most High did. And they fell into their own lust and what they wanted and what they were missing, instead of checking themselves and realizing the blessings they had. Remember, the scripture said their feet did not swell, their garments did not wax old. The Most High was with them. He opened up the Red Sea, drowned their enemies, brought them out, was setting them up as an empire. But they still got his works, and they waited not for his counsel. I mean, they didn't wait to see what was his plan. What was he going to do? You know the Most High wasn't going to let him starve. You know the Most High was with him. He was taking care of him. And that's something we need to learn from, because we're receiving great blessings through Christ. Understanding that we have in Christ is the greatest blessing in the world. And a lot of times we soon forget that blessing, but yet we're looking for material and carnal things, which is all vanity.
Yep.
Verse 14 said, but they lust exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Let's look at, to go along with that, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me just jump in real quick before we go there, because I brought out a point, and the brother Nathaniel Essex in the chat room put in the scripture, in Wisdom of Solomon chapter 20. So I just want to read about that manna and how they dealt with the manna.
Okay, good.
Hold on, I think it's...
Wisdom of Solomon, you want that Wisdom of Solomon 20 and 16?
No, it's not 20. Maybe it's 2 and 16. Let me see. No, that's not it. We'll come back and get it.
All right, we'll go to, go to Corinthians until we get that right. We'll come back to it.
Yep, and I'm in 1 Corinthians 10 right now. Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Read, yep, 1 Corinthians 10 and what verse?
Read verse 9 to 11.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
So wherefore, go ahead, brother. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Okay, so the scriptures tell us that all these things happen to us, happen to them, for an example we can learn from. So we know not to go lusting, being more worried about our carnal minds and carnal desires and worldly things than worried about spiritual things and doing the things that's pleasing in the eyes of the Most High. Because that's where their minds were. And they didn't wait for the counsel of God to see what his plans are for them, but they were more concerned in fulfilling the lust of their flesh instead of staying focused on the will of the Most High and getting ourselves right in the eyes of the Most High, getting ourselves transformed to that image of Christ. That's where we need to be focused on, and not on material things like these worldly pastors are putting that vibration out on people that we got to have riches, we got to have monetary riches, we got to have this, we got to have that. And yet they're not teaching the people about repentance and what they need to do to please the Father.
Yep.
You had anything you want to bring up, brother? Any scriptures you want to add on to that?
Yeah. Let's see. Let's start at, gosh, it's a place I want to start. Matthew 1st, chapter
okay.
6 and 19. And then there's another one I wanted.
Matthew 6 and 19?
Uh-huh.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So when we talk about that focus and we understand what the blessing of the Lord is, and we understand that from everything that we've read so far, that the blessings of the Lord are not carnal things. That's not where the blessings come in. And the blessings of the Lord are not things that we're sitting there lusting after. The blessings of the Lord is what we're reading right here, and it says what? It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. So that automatically rules out a lot of the things that people are begging for and lusting for in this world.
Mm.
Because things that the earth, that moth and rust doth corrupt, moth will corrupt your fine Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Prada, any of these fine garments that people go out that they call fine garments nowadays, and they'll spend $200, $300, $1,000, $5,000 on a dress. Something as simple as a moth could get into that closet and eat through that beautiful dress. So the Most High is saying those things like your clothing, those carnal possessions, that's not something that you're supposed to treasure. And dust, I don't care, dust will corrupt the finest cars. Dust will corrupt the best computers. Dust will corrupt the finest electronics. Dust will corrupt so many things. So between dust and moth, you can destroy almost all of the carnal possessions that people value that's here on this earth. So the Lord is saying that's not your focus or weight. That should not be your focus if you're serving me. Because some people do focus on those things. But the Lord is saying, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon this earth. Don't get caught up in this. This is not what you're supposed to be focused on. Where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So between that, that rules out everything carnally that you can see. But now, what does it say in verse 20, bro?
Verse 20?
Uh-huh.
It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
So now he's saying, on the other hand, since I'm telling you not to lay up treasures in this earthly carnal things, on the other hand, let me tell you what you should treasure. And he didn't lay it right out for you, but he gave you a very good hint. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So those treasures in heavens come from what you were already bringing out, which is that knowledge and understanding that cometh from Christ and the Heavenly Father. Because that's the true blessing. Once you have that knowledge of how to live right and how to live according to the scriptures and how not to be caught up in this world and how to walk through this world dealing with people according to wisdom, nobody can take that from you. I don't care how much dust falls on you. I don't care how much rust is in the house. I don't care if a thief breaks in and steals, he can't steal that from you, because that is the invaluable, the permanent, the everlasting, the immortal treasure that cometh only of the Heavenly Father in Christ. So no matter what people try to say, they can't get that from you. And that's where our focus is supposed to be. So that's why he said in verse 21, what did he tell us, huh?
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So whatever you value, that's where your mind is going to be. So when you see these preachers where all they preach about is money and prosperity and Benzes and Beamers and Rolls Royces and fabulous houses and fabulous mansions, it's not a secret. They're telling you where their heart is. Cuslow Dollar is not hiding what he's about. His last name just happens to be Dollar, I think. I don't even know if that's just a name he made up. His last name just happens to be Dollar, but what does he talk about to show you what he's about? Money, 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 finance, riches, blessings, financial prosperity. That's where his heart is. His heart is not on the Most High in Christ. And this is not a blasphemous thing, or I'm not speaking against him or lying. The proof is in the pudding. Every time he opens his mouth, what is he talking about? So that shows you what he is. So now I want to go down one more verse to 22, and let's read that.
All right, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light.
Mm-hmm. Keep on.
But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Last verse.
Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
So you'll hear people in the church read this scripture all day about you can't serve two masters. But what are the two masters that he's talking about when we read down? He's talking about you cannot serve the Most High and money. See, money is a defense. The scriptures tell us we're going to have that defense. And money is necessary for us to survive in this world. But the scriptures are letting us know that our treasure is not supposed to be on that. And if the light of the body is the eye, our eye is supposed to be single on righteousness. That's supposed to be our focus. That's what we're living for. That's what we strive for day by day. But if we're into the evil, then the whole thing of our body is going to be in darkness. So if your mind is concentrating on women, on cars, on the lust of this world, like the scriptures told us not to have, it's letting you know that you are in darkness. You're focused on the wrong things. You're focused on the wickedness, whereas we should be focused on the righteousness that cometh to the Most High in Christ. So then he goes on to let us know very clearly, if you don't understand what I'm saying, let me clarify this for you. No man can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, going to hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So if you want to serve money, then you're not serving the Most High. But if you want to serve the Most High, then serve the Most High with all your strength and might. The Most High is going to bless you with other things. That example, if we have time, we can read it, is like the example that we saw with King Solomon in 1 Kings, the third chapter. He asked the Most High for wisdom because he wanted to rule the Lord's people right and make the right decisions in dealing with them. And because he asked for that wisdom, the Most High said, you know what? I'm going to give you all the wisdom you want. But then on the side, I'm also going to give you riches because you weren't concerned about that. You were concerned about living right. And that's what we have to be focused on.
That's right. That's right. That reminds me of the scripture where Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you.
So we can go there because it's right down. I'll jump down and read that, and then I'll let you, you can break that. So that's Matthew 6 and 31, and he says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
See, that's a perfect example of what the people coming out of Egypt were not focused on. They were not focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is talking about doing the things that's pleasing in the sight of the Most High, which is keeping his commandments. in Christ. Because once we do that, the Most High is going to take care of us. And he's going to give us all the things that we need. The things that we need, the necessities, not things that we just cardinally asking for, like we read about in James 4 and 1, where it talks about they ask and they receive not, because they asked amiss. They were asking for things to consume in their lust. But if we focus on being right and doing the things that's pleasing in the eyes of the Most High, which is the works that we read up high, the works that lead to eternal life, the fruits that does not perish, those are the things we're supposed to be focused on, like we read earlier in Matthew 13:22, where it talks about that person became unfruitful because they were focusing on material things, they were focusing on worldly things, things that perish. They became unfruitful in the word. But if our minds are focused on doing the things that are right, then we could become fruitful in the word and be blessed by the Most High.
Yeah. So you know what, there's a good scripture that tells us about that. And if you don't mind, read that for me. It's in Luke chapter 12, verse 15.
All right, brother.
Because here's an example of a man that's doing the opposite of like what we're talking about we should be doing, and it's going to show you what the Most High did with him.
All right, 12, and you said verse 15, right?
Yeah, and it goes, we're going to go to 21, but we might stop in between.
Okay. And he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses.
So, Hashiach, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Isn't the church teaching this the very opposite of this? Isn't the church teaching that the more you have is the more prosperous you are and the more that God loves you?
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're teaching.
So how can they teach that? It shows you how they don't care nothing about what the Most High is saying. Because he said, the Christ himself said, that take heed, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So life is not about you getting and amassing a whole bunch of wealth and a whole bunch of goods and houses and fine cars and the 401k and stock options and all these different things. That don't have nothing to do with the Lord. That's all of the world. But these churches are out there teaching these people and deceiving people to believe if you have all these things, then you're blessed of God, and that's the blessing that God has given you. When these people are committing adultery, when they're committing fornication, they're sinning, they're not keeping any of the Most High's commandments, and they're getting all these things, but they're being deceived to believe that they're serving the Lord because they're being blessed with riches in this world. And sadly, they are serving the Lord, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. They're serving their Lord, Satan. And that's why they're getting some of these things in this world. But this is something that we're teaching our people so they can learn to repent and come back and actually start doing what the scriptures say.
Yeah. You know what, since you said that, let me read, we'll come right back to that, but I want to read a quick scripture to back that up. And we'll come right back, all right?
I'm with you.
All right, this is 1 Corinthians, right, the 4th chapter. Let me see, I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, we are fools for Christ's sakes, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, are buffeted, and no certain dwelling place. And labor working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we intrigue. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as your beloved son, I warn you. So right here it's talking about servants of the Most High, servants of Christ, that are going through all types of tribulation, but they are blessed because they have a life eternal waiting for them in the heavens.
Yep.
And they have that knowledge of the Most High God on how to treat one another, how to treat their wives, how to deal with their kids, how to live a righteous life, unstained and undefiled before men and before God. Right, back to Luke 12.
Mm-hmm. At verse 16 now.
Okay. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
So
but God said unto him, thou fool.
Go ahead, bro. No, no, go ahead and read on. Let's read to the end, down to 21.
All right, verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lay up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God.
So that's what this world has taught people to do. Stack, stack, stack. That's what they call it. Stack of chips. Collect money. Amass wealth. Build your fortune. All these different words that they call it for you focusing and being covetous and giving it different names, different forms of being covetous so that you can only focus on building money, building money, building money. And in the end of it all, what did he say? He said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, that shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So it shows you that that covetous spirit that's out here in the world is not the way that we're supposed to be. That's not a blessing. But when we're rich towards God, by keeping his commandments, by following the teachings of Christ, then you're blessed. But this man is not in that way. He's thinking of himself only, and for him thinking of himself only, the Lord said, you have a curse coming to you, which is you're going to die, and then your goods are going to be distributed to somebody else. Back to you, bro.
Mm. Yeah, that's a heavy point. Let me, you know, this scripture got to come out when we do a topic like this. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy is the 6th chapter.
All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You with me, bro? Okay, so when you look at that scripture, it's showing us how the love of money is the root of all evil, because we already read earlier today that what? We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And it says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So the same thing we read in Matthew chapter 6, when it was going in to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord is letting us know that the things that were added unto us, the things that we were provided for, were that same food and raiment that we're reading with in Timothy's. And that's why he's saying, be therewith content. Because as long as we're serving the Lord is going to provide us with those things. But verse 9, you back with me, Hosh?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought I lost you, but you lost me.
No, I was still on.
I thought you fell off. All right, I'm back.
Verse 9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So that's showing us this is, if you're lusting after money and that's what you're going after, that's an evil, wicked spirit, and it's going to cause you to go into many different sins. It's going to cause you to bow down to Satan. It's going to cause you to go into lust and abortions and murders and drug dealing and fornication on the, what do they call that in Hollywood? Some kind of sofa. The casting couch. It's going to cause you to do all those things because you're not going to have the Most High ruling over you to tell you and show you, listen, this is what I'm not going to do, or this is what you're supposed to do according to the commandments. You'll do anything just to get that extra little bit of money when you have that love, lust, or covetous spirit for money. So now you wanted me to go to verse 17?
Verse 11.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
So those are the things that the Most High God is telling us that we need to follow after. Not the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those are the things of the world. Our focus is not supposed to be trying to get along and fit in with this world. Our focus is to please God, do the things pleasing in His sight, convert ourselves to righteousness, godliness. Those are the things that the people coming out of Egypt lacked. They lacked the patience. They didn't wait for the counsel of God. We're supposed to wait for the counsel of God. We're supposed to wait and do things according to the scriptures. We're supposed to be molded into the image of Christ, not into the image of the world. You got anything to add, brother?
I mean, just sticking right in that scripture, it shows you how reversed this world is and how evil this world is. Because right there in verse 11, right, it says, But thou, O man, flee these things, which is someone that's coveting after money, lusting after that, trying to stack their money, make a whole bunch of money for life. But it says, follow after righteousness. So the thing that this world doesn't consider important at all is what the scriptures tell us to follow after, which is keeping of the commandments, godliness, living that life, and not just keeping the commandments, but showing forth that godly spirit, that spirit of Christ in your everyday life where you're living and walking in that and dealing with people. It says that we're supposed to grow and follow after faith, love, patience and meekness, which the world considers all of those things weak and inconsequential. So when you're following those things, a lot of times people will look at you and say, that is weak. But we have to remember that is what our Lord and Savior Christ did, and that's what He lived, and that's what He followed after. So we have to follow after that same thing. That's why other scriptures tell you about blessed are you when you are persecuted and reviled for Christ's name's sake. It's because when you're putting these scriptures on you and you're living according to this and you're not running after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, you're very contrary to this world and you make yourself a target. And the reason why do you make yourself a target is because now people are going to hate you. And they're not going to hate you for any personal reason. They're not going to hate you because of you. They hate you because they see Christ on you in the way that you're dealing. But that's okay, because if Christ suffered that's the same thing we're going to have to suffer.
Exactly. Amen. And the thing is also is that the scriptures tell us that Christ told us that if the world hates you, you know they hated me first. Because
that's right.
because I testify that the works thereof is evil. And that's another thing, because you, all the things that the world are looking at as being all right, looking at as being good, is contrary to the scriptures. And we, on the other hand, we telling them that these things are wrong. We telling them that their holidays is idolatry. We telling them that homosexuality is wrong. We tell them these things according to the scriptures, and what they're going to do, you think they're going to love us for that?
They hate us.
And the world, they chasing after the dollar. They chasing after the material things. So now, let's say somebody that's in the world that's doing all these things are hearing these scriptures. What you think? Either they're going to humble down and do what the Lord is saying to do, or they're going to bear that hatred. You're gonna say that, you know. Let me get one more scripture, and then we're gonna take a quick promo break. Let's read 1 Peter 2:1-3, because this shows us what we have to go after. When the scriptures tell us, "Thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness," the question one may ask is, "How do we obtain righteousness? How do we obtain godliness? How do we build faith? How do we love?" So we're going to read 1 Peter 2:1-3.
All right,
1 Peter 2:1.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
All right, that's good, brother. So it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, meaning that you may become fruitful in the knowledge of God, and you may grow in the patience, you may grow in the love, you may grow in righteousness, you may grow in that image of Christ. So these are the things we're supposed to be desiring. The sincere milk of the word is how we're going to grow and obtain blessings from the Most High God. And with that, we're going to take a first quote promo break if you don't have nothing else to put on, add on, brother.
All right.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2:00 p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8:00 p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see
are you smarter than your pastor
on Tuesdays at 8:00 p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7:00 p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursday at 8:00 p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key Friday at 7:00 p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests Saturday mornings at 9:00 a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom. Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at TheBOCC. And view our videos on youtube.com/theBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom.
All right, shalom. Welcome back to the second half of the show. We're going to be dealing with the blessings now. Some scriptures dealing with the blessing. I don't know, the brother, did you have more that you want to go through with the lust thing?
No, we're good.
Okay. And before I start, we had a question. We had a brother that wanted to ask a question or had a comment. All right. Give me a second here. Let me get him on live. All right, brother, from the 754 area code, you're on.
Yes, sir. I was just listening to the broadcast and the scriptures that was being submitted. We are 90% spirit and 10% flesh. And as you was reading the scriptures and commenting on past statements, we, the church, are trying to live according to the flesh when God did not put us here to live according to the flesh, but to live in the spiritual realm. And now the church, like you said, has gone for the things of the world. Now, the world don't know better, so they're supposed to go for the money and all of this. But we, the body of Christ, we're supposed to know better, and we're supposed to be going for the things. What does it profit of me to gain the world and lose your soul? That's the most important thing you have, is your soul, and rightfully so. The church, in so many areas, is teaching people to live according to the flesh. The things of the flesh. But the things of the flesh, Jesus told us, is temporal. So they're going to pass away. But your soul is eternal. And when this stuff passes away, when this world passes away, where is your soul going to be? So I just want to encourage us to continue to go and seek God for his way, his righteousness. Seek the Lord for his righteousness and all these other things God will add it to you, but first we have to seek God and his right way of doing things. God bless you. Thank you for this space.
All right, brother. Thank you. Thank you for the comment, and thank you for tuning in. The brother was right on point. You know, we have to be seeking God and his righteousness, but the way of this world is the way of lust, and people of this world don't know God. So it's a shame that we have pastors and preachers that's supposed to be teaching our people about God, and what they teach them about is money and material possession.
Yep, that's why Matthew 22:14 tells us what? For many are called, but few are chosen. Because the Most High is calling a lot of us to come and follow his son Christ, but guess what? Few are chosen because a lot of people are not going to want to bow down and turn and serve Christ. They would rather go and follow money, go and follow their lust. Some rather just go back in the world.
That's the thing, too. People are not told to resist their lust. That's not what the world is teaching, you know. That's not what these churches are teaching. They're not being told that they have to resist their lust, because we have diverse lusts that we have to fight, and that's what we in. We in a fight here. You know, it's a fight to transform ourselves to be Christ-like. And if we give in to our lust, then we're not in a fight. We just entertaining whatever our lust want. And the scripture tells us that we are contrary to God, because the scriptures tell us about in Genesis that every imagination of the thoughts of heart of men's hearts is evil continually. So constantly men are thinking of things that are contrary to God. And we have the scriptures to help us stay in line on what we need to be focused on And we have to combat the fleshly thoughts with the scriptures.
Yep. And you know what? It's that's a beautiful thing that you just said. And the brother Nathaniel Essex just put in a really good scripture to address, like, the brother's statement, and basically the brother's statement as well as what you just brought out. If you don't mind, get Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll read down to 5.
All right, brother. I'll get it right now. Colossians 3?
Uh-huh. Verse 1.
All right, Colossians 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sit on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
And verse 6.
For which things say the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
So that's the whole thing. If we're repentant in Christ, which is what we're supposed to be, and that's, you know, the ones of us that already repented, acknowledged the evil that we were doing, acknowledged the wrong that we were doing, and came back and followed Christ, then it's telling us that to do what now? If we're risen in Christ, then we're supposed to seek the things which are above. So we're supposed to be focused on the commandments. We're supposed to be focused on righteousness. That's why he said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we've covered that throughout this show, that we can't get caught up in our carnal possessions and the money and the riches and whatever that's here on this earth. We have to be focused on the righteousness of the scriptures, how to keep the commandments, the Most High's holy days. We're supposed to be dealing in marriages that are true marriages with a husband and a wife in Christ, that have children, and we raise the children in Christ. That is setting our affection on things above and not on things on this earth. For ye are dead. When we repent in Christ, our carnal, wicked, evil selves are supposed to be dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Because now our lives being hidden in Christ, our lives being hidden in Christ means that once we start to serve Christ, follow Christ, and set that example, people shouldn't even be seeing us anymore in a physical sense. We're talking spiritually now. What they're supposed to be seeing is a righteous man, a righteous woman in Christ, and they're supposed to be seeing Christ in us. So those former lives we lived, of whether we were drug dealers or murderers or whoremongers or homosexuals or fornicators, all those past lives that we lived, those things are supposed to be gone, they're supposed to be dead and hidden away. Because now all they're supposed to see on us is that spirit of Christ when we walk through this earth. It goes on to say, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. And how does that happen? What do we have to do? Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. So we're supposed to, things that are supposed to die, the things that we're supposed to kill are fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So all of the things that we've been going through so far that you were bringing out, Hosh, and that the scriptures have been showing, that's what we're supposed to be getting rid of. We're not supposed to be going around sleeping with a whole bunch of women. We're not supposed to be unclean, eating defiled foods, doing defiled acts that make us unclean, like having sex with a woman while she's on her period, which is also a form of what? Fornication, when you read Leviticus 18. Which is talking about adulteries and homosexuality and bestiality and incest and things of that nature. And it goes on to say, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We're not supposed to have that covetous spirit on us, because as you were bringing point out before, when we have that spirit, then we'll do anything to get those riches, and we've made those things into a god. So money can be turned into a god. A car can be turned into a god. Anything that you, clothes can be turned into a god. Anything that you place more value on than the Most High, and you will do anything or break the commandments to get it, you have now made that an idol, and that's how covetousness becomes idolatry. So we're not supposed
that's
to be
right.
that way.
That's right. That also brings us back to our James 4.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That last verse where it talks about covetousness, which is idolatry, also sheds some light on James 4:4 when he calls them adulterers and adulteresses, because we're supposed to be married to Christ, but yet we married to material things, which is, like the scripture bringing out, we lusting after material things, which is idolatry. Because a lot of times people will break the commandments of God so they can get material possessions. So they made those things more important than what God says. I got to get this car, so you know what? I'm going to work on the Sabbath. I'm going to break the Sabbath. I'm going to break any commandment I need to break. I'm going to sell drugs or do whatever I have to do so I can get this material thing. So that material thing just became an idol.
Yeah, I'm going to steal. I'm going to
so now
a credit card scam.
Yeah. Let's go to Proverbs 8 chapter real quick.
All right.
Proverbs 8 and 10.
Proverbs 8, verse 10.
Read 10 and 11.
All right. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
So right here, the scripture is letting us know that wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that are to be desired, all these material things that people go after, like we read before, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, all these things that men may desire, wisdom is better than that. Why? Because wisdom, and by the way, the wisdom we're talking about is the knowledge of this Bible, the knowledge of God. And matter of fact, let's prove that before we go any further. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. This is a scripture we pull all the time, but, you know, we have to pull it so people understand what wisdom is dealing with. It's not dealing with any type of knowledge that you want to think of, because there's a lot of knowledge out there that's wicked. But the wisdom the scripture is talking about is the knowledge of God. Deuteronomy 4, let's read verse 5 through 7.
All right. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who has God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?
So the scripture tells us, that's good right there. So the scripture tells us that keep therefore and do them. Verse 6 says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. So the commandments of the Most High God is our wisdom. The words of God is our wisdom and is our understanding. But it also goes on to tell us that when the other nations see us operating and dealing according to the commandments, they will see that we are a wise and understanding people. So that's why this knowledge is better than anything you could ask for, because the operation of this knowledge shows people that you know how to deal. You know how to deal with your brothers. You know how to deal with your sisters. You know how to deal with your wife, your children. And not only that, but verse 7 says,
For what nation is there so great which has God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? So that's also showing you when we operating and dealing with this knowledge that the Most High God is with us and is blessing us and is increasing us and giving us the things that we need to sustain. So can money do that for you? Absolutely not, brother, right? Because we see people with money going through all types of hell and trials and tribulations filled with money, but yet miserable.
Yeah. And to go to that point with that whole miserable thing, if we can go over one couple of chapters to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, because the Most High brings it out.
Okay. You said Proverbs 10?
Uh-huh, verse 22.
Okay. Proverbs 10, 22. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it.
So just how you're bringing it out, you know, when you see a lot of these people that are rich in this world and they're miserable and they always worried about keeping their money and who's trying to steal it from them and their lives just become all about their money and they can't even live right anymore, what is the scripture showing us on the other hand? He's showing us that what? When we're dealing with the Lord and he does bless us with certain riches, that he doesn't add sorrow with it. We're not going to be worried about it. We're not going to be sitting there trying to figure out how to keep it. And you see a good example of that with Job, because he said, naked came I into the world, naked go I out, when he lost all of his riches. He wasn't even concerned. He wasn't broken down. He wasn't about to jump off a bridge and commit suicide. He was just like, hey, if that's what the Lord wants to do, that's what he's going to do, because that's what a man of the Lord is. That's what it is when we don't trust in riches. The scriptures tell you we know how to serve, whether we be abased or whether we abound. So whether we have a lot or whether we have nothing, we continue to serve the Lord the same way if we're truly about serving the Lord.
That's right. That's right, brother. Want me to read on?
No, that was it. Just that one verse.
Okay. Matter of fact, go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:1.
Deuteronomy chapter 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
So we read Satan told Christ that if he was to listen to him and serve him, that he would give him the glories of this world. But right here we read, and God said, look, if you listen to me and you do what I tell you, that all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. So we got to ask ourselves the question, who do we want to be blessed by? Do we want to be blessed by Satan, or do we want to be blessed by God? Because the blessings of God added no sorrow, like you read, brother. The blessings of God lead to eternal life, power, and glory, and riches that fade not away. But in order to get that blessing from God, what did he say? If we hearken diligently, it says, and if thou shalt, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee up high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So the Most High God is letting us know that if we want to be blessed by him, we have to listen to what he says. We can't just do whatever we want to do and pray and think we're going to be blessed by the Most High, because he's in his word, he tells us how we obtain blessings from him. And to be disobedient is the same as serving Satan.
Yep, so that's why when we get his commandments and we get his scriptures and we know how we're supposed to deal with the law, statutes, and commandments, then from there, what are we supposed to do? It tells you, get Proverbs 16 and 16 for me, please.
You said 16 and 16, right?
Uh-huh. Because this is going to explain and show us what, once again, what is our focus supposed to be? Where are we supposed to put our trust? And it's very clear.
Okay. Proverbs 16 and 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold?
Wow.
And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver.
So how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? So that's not even a question. That's a statement. And that's a statement with an exclamation point at the end of it. So he's letting you know how much better is it to get wisdom than gold. So getting the wisdom of the law, statutes, and commandments, like you just read in Deuteronomy, we just went over in Deuteronomy 4, is to get that than to get gold. And to get understanding of how to keep those law, statutes, and commandments is so supposed to be chosen over than fine silver. So it's showing you how these riches and the things of this earth and the things of this world are really of no value when they're weighed against the knowledge and the understanding that cometh of Christ and this Bible. And when we hear his word and hearken unto his word and do what it says, then we get those long-lasting, eternal blessings that are not going to fade away. But when we go contrary to what he says and serve Satan to get these different things, then you see that destruction cometh upon people, death, pain, and a lot of sorrow happens when people are dealing in that manner. And that was it.
Okay. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms, the first chapter. We're going to read Psalms 1. Let's read verse 1 down to 3, brother.
Psalms chapter 1, verse 3.
Start at 1.
And then read it down to 3. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Now check that out. So Psalm, it starts off telling us, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now somebody that's ungodly, obviously somebody that doesn't worship God, that's a sinner. That's more of a worshiper of Satan. So if you're not walking after the ways of somebody that's a sinner, that's breaking the commandments of God, because it tells you, the next statement tells you that, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So if you're not somebody that's going against the commandments of God, or somebody that's following Satan and following the world, but your delight is in the law of the Lord, meaning what God wants, and you follow the commandments of God, and it says, and in his law he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now we all know that a tree needs water. So water helps a tree grow and become fruitful. So the same way the words of the Bible is like water is to a tree. If we are following the commandments of God, we become fruitful. And if you remember, we read in, I keep bringing this back up, but it goes along with the rest of the topic when we read in Matthew 13:22, where it talks about a person receiving the word and the cares of the world and the deceitful of riches, choke the word and they become unfruitful. But right here it's talking about someone that becomes fruitful because they're not, the word is not being choked, but their focus is in following the words of the Heavenly Father and keeping the commandments of the Most High, that that person will be blessed and will grow in the scriptures and be multiplied in the knowledge of the Most High and will inherit eternal life and the blessings that the Most High has for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I want to deal with something else, unless you had another scripture you wanted to bring up.
Well, just one more thing to kind of back up to that same scripture that we just read, because it talked about his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and
mm-hmm.
he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. So, you know, the two examples, the two extremes, or the exact examples that you brought out, one is a tree that's sitting, and the thorns and the weeds choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And none of you, like, you know, we live in Georgia, and we have this ivy, and it's a weed. It's like the thorns, and it has thorns on it, too. It has thorns, and it's a weed. It grows up these trees. It grows up the pine trees, and basically what it does is it sucks all the nutrients out of that tree so that it doesn't need them anymore. And when the wind comes or a bad storm comes, all over and die. And they don't have any strength because all of that's been sucked out by the weeds. That's what the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of does to a person that has word and they don't have strong foundation. But look at the example that you just brought out about a tree planted.
Hey, can you hear me in the chat room? I think Kadar just dropped. All right, so hold on 1 second. I think I got him back. Kadar, that's you?
I'm here.
All right, brother. I lost you for a minute.
Yeah, I don't know. Satan rolling, trying to.
Yeah, I thought I was the one that got dropped again, but I was trying to figure out how to connect myself again, but it was you.
It was me. I got dropped that time.
All right, brother.
So I don't know what the last thing is that you heard, but going into how you brought out the example of that tree where the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And that example of that tree is like the ivy on the trees here in Georgia that grow with those thick vines on it and thorns, and it grows all the way up the trees, and it chokes the life out of the tree. So anytime a storm comes or anything, it just does what? It weakens the tree to the point that a good, strong, and those trees fall over. But on the other hand, you have in verse 3, a tree that's planted by the water that delights in the word of the Most High and trust in that. And that tree, because it's by water, is constantly being nourished with what it needs to grow. And that water is like the water that it tells you cometh of Christ, that living water and that washing of water. That word, and the one that it tells you in John 7:38, that he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So it's all going back to Christ. And if we're listening and learning of him and constantly being nourished by him and taking heed to that, then that's going to make us those strong trees that's going to bring forth that fruit that's meet for repentance, that patience, meekness, temperance, and so forth and so on. All those good things and qualities that we're supposed to have as followers of Christ, we're going to continue to grow in that and be strong. So now I just wanted to get one more scripture to back that up before you go to the next point. And this is Joshua chapter 1. And if you could read Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8.
Okay, you said Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 7?
Yep, and 8.
Okay. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
So if we want to really be prosperous, truly, and the scriptures already told us in Psalms what to do, meditate in his word to make ourselves like that good, strong, and fruitful tree. But it's also letting us know that in this verse it said, in order to prosper, we got to read this word, we have to read these commandments, and we cannot turn to the left hand or the right, meaning we can't go our own route. He gave us a straight path to follow. He told us what to do. We have to get on that path, and we can't go to the left, oh, this is how I feel, or to the right, well, I don't feel like doing this today. I'm going to serve my lust. We got to stay on that straight and narrow path. It said once we do that, and this book of the law does not depart out of our mouth, and we meditate in these scriptures day and night so we can learn what's right to do and then do what's right, it said, then we are going to make our way prosperous, and then we will have great success. So that's showing you what true success is in this world. What true success is, according to the Most High in Christ, is not about the riches. It's not about getting money. That's not the blessing that it's talking about. It's the blessing of having this wisdom and understanding of the scriptures and living by it so that we prosper in righteousness in our daily lives. That's what's good in the sight of the Heavenly Father. So back to you, bro.
Well, that's an excellent point, brother. Excellent point. Because if you look at it, you come in this earth, you live 80, 90, 100 years, if you're lucky, if you're blessed. And let's say you live these years and you had all the money and wealth of this world, but you didn't know God and you end up dying and that's it for you. Or you come in this world, you keep the commandments of the Most High, you didn't have all the riches and material wealth, but yet you enter into eternal life. Now, who was successful?
Huh. I think it's very obvious, the one that entered into eternal life.
Because obviously that's the goal, but they make it seem like the goal is to obtain money and material wealth. But the goal should be to enter into eternal life. And not only that, the quality of life that you live when you're keeping the commandments of the Most High God is a way better quality, way better quality of life. The people you're going to be around, the type of person you're going to be married to, the way your children are going to be raised, is going to, hands down, is way better quality. So, it's obvious what we should be seeking after, and that's the righteousness of God.
So the thing I want to do now, brother, I wanted to kind of bring it up to date, but I wanted to go to Genesis 22 to see something about what was prophesied in Genesis and look at it in a modern day term. Genesis 22. And by the way, I didn't mean to say bring it up to date, because everything we said is up to date with the times that we're living in. But in the scripture dealing with Genesis 22 and the prophecy that's written here, I want to bring that up to modern day. Genesis 22, start at verse 15 down to 18. From
Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice.
Okay, I want to really examine the scripture, because, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read 17 again. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, we know the term when the scriptures talk about the gates of your enemies. The gate in the ancient world is where, you know, the leaders of the people be gathered. You know, they would let people in the city whom they were willing to let in. They could keep people out of the city. So when it talks about your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies, it's talking about that the seed, Abraham's seed, will be ruling and control the government of their enemies. But I want to examine the scripture real closely, because it said a few things. I want to read a couple of scriptures that's saying the same thing, but add a little more information, because he said it to Jacob and he added some more information. Let's go to 28 and 4, and read verse 14 and 15. Genesis 28, verse 14 and 15.
Genesis chapter 28, verse 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of.
So when the Most High told Jacob, I am with thee, and he said, thy seed shall go to the north, the south, and the west, and the east, he's talking about that the Israelites will be scattered into all nations. And he's telling them that he will be with them, and he will bring them back into that land. And they will be scattered among the other nations. I want to read one more part that kind of makes it a little more clearer. Go to chapter 35, verse 10 and 11, because he tells them the same thing again. Genesis chapter 35, verse 10 and 11.
Genesis chapter 35, verse 10. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel.
Verse 11.
And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins.
So now he tells them a nation and a company of nations. All right. Now we're going to look at this thing and get some understanding on it. Let's go to Zechariah, the 8th chapter. Because what happened here, he's telling them that all nations were going to be blessed of his seed. All right, so let's go to Zechariah, the 8th chapter, and try to get some understanding of what was going on in Genesis.
Zechariah 8, read verse 13.
Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong.
All right, so when we read the scripture, I don't want to go through too many scriptures, but when we read the scripture, we find out why Israel was scattered among all nations, why they become a company of nations, why they went to the north, the south, the east, and the west. The reason why that happened to Israel is because they forsook the commandments of the Most High. And we read the scriptures that when we kept the commandments, we were blessed. But when we left the commandments, the opposite happened, is that the nation became cursed and became a company of nations. But right here, he tells them that, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. And he told Abraham that his seed will be a blessing to all nations. But right here, we read in the prophecy where the Most High is telling them that that nation is going to be a blessing. So what we want to know is, how can a nation that was cut off from the word, because we know in Isaiah 29:11, it talks about how the word became seal unto them. So now it's showing you that this nation that was once cursed is going to be a blessing. And the way that's going to happen is because they're going to turn back to the word. We're going to read that. But I want to show an example of how that nation is going to be a blessing. I want to read two quick scriptures. One right here in this chapter, verse 23, is one of them. Zechariah 8:23. Read that for me.
It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nation, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.
So they're going to be blessed because they're going to return back to God. That's how they're going to become a blessing again. They're going to turn back to God. In return, the other nations are going to be able to receive that wisdom and that knowledge from them. But first, they have to turn back to God in order to be blessed. Let's read one more scripture dealing with that. Malachi 4. Now, Micah 4, brother.
Micah 4?
Yeah, read verse 1 down to 3.
Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of God of Jacob, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
So now we understand. Now, that's it on that. But now we understand how God is telling Abraham that the whole world is going to be blessed through his seed, which is really going into Christ. But those that are in Christ would receive this blessing, where they would be able to teach the other nations that knowledge of Christ. But the question is, how is a nation that had lost the blessings of the word and wisdom of God is going to turn back and receive that? How is that made possible? Let's read Psalms 32. Psalms 32, verse 1 and 2. Take a quick look at this. Because it's going to be a great blessing for that nation to be able to come back to God.
Psalms chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
So those of that nation that were condemned and became accursed because of what? Because of sins, right?
Yep, sin. Because we refused to follow the Most High's commandments. So the Most High put it on us.
Exactly. So, matter of fact, go to Romans 6 real quick. Romans 6 and 23. Because that's what happened. We refused to follow the Most High's commandments. We sinned against the Most High's commandments. So we died as a nation. We got scattered among all the nations, and death came upon us. Right?
Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
So through Christ, we were given a second chance to come back to the Father. Let's get another scripture on that. Just a couple more scriptures, brother, and I'm going to give it back to you so you can bring out whatever points you got. Galatians 3.
Galatians 3,
13 and 14.
Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
So, when the scriptures talk about curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, because we know in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about if you broke the commandments of the Most High, certain commandments were, you was punished by death. And the way they were told that they could, to kill somebody that was sentenced to death was to hang them on a tree. So Christ took that death from us by him dying for our sins. Right?
Okay.
Read on.
Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
So the Gentiles, because Israel was scattered among all nations and became Gentiles. Even to this day, you're talking about we were in a Gentile state of mind. So that blessing of Abraham that we read about in Genesis has came upon us. Even though we were scattered among all nations, that blessing came upon us. Give me one more on that. Acts 3:25, brother.
Acts chapter 3, verse 25.
Yeah, I hate to be rushing. We've got a short time. I just want to get these last scriptures out.
Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God hath made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed.
Verse 26. Yeah.
Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
So unto us first is that blessing come to turn us away from sin, that we may follow Christ and teach in the second coming of the Lord, teach all nations. Matter of fact, starting right now, teach all men to repent and follow Christ. And in the second coming of the Most High and his son, when his son returned on this earth, we're going to be teaching all nations to follow Christ. But we have to take that blessing that the Most High has given us by sending his son to redeem us from our sins, which is a great blessing. That's the greatest blessing there is, for us to say that we're not blessed, or to think that because we may lack material things that we need blessings, or we lack a blessing, is straight up foolishness. Because the blessings of us walking in the knowledge of Christ is the greatest blessing that we can have. And that was the blessing that was promised to Abraham that he would give unto us. Go ahead, brother.
So, bro, I mean, you really kind of put the icing on the cake. According to the scriptures, I just want to read one thing so we can also keep all of this in perspective. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And this is going out to the ones that repent and the brothers that have already repented and they are walking in this truth. And you know, the brothers and sisters, they hear this word, and they were all in the world, or they were doing whatever, and they hear this word, and they say, you know what, I want to make a change, I want to repent, I want to serve the Lord. This is where we at, and let's read 1 Corinthians 1:26.
1 Corinthians 1:26.
And let's read down to 31.
Okay. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glorify in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorified, let him glory in the Lord.
So the blessing of it all is we got that blessing where all nations are going to be blessed through the Israelites being saved, through us coming back, through Christ, through us following this word. So in the end of it all, we also have to understand that the ones of us that hear this word and can understand this word and repent and follow the Lord, understand that not many noble are called. When you look at the presidents and the kings and the rulers of this earth, they don't understand this, and they weren't called to do this. We were blessed by the Lord to be given this knowledge so that we could come forth and do this work and bring out the words that the Lord said. And he said that, and what the world considers to be what? The foolish things of this world? That's what the Lord is going to use to confound the wise. Because a lot of people don't understand this word. And he's using men that are what the world would consider base men, sanitation workers, lowly $5, $6 minimum wage workers, people that are not super successful in this world. It's just people, the average Joes is who the Most High is using to turn around and wake these people up according to his word. And it goes on to say that so that people understand it's not about us, because no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, of whom God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh, excuse me. The wisdom, the righteousness, the cleansing, and the salvation is all coming through Christ. So as we hear this word and we apply that wisdom and righteousness and become sanctified, which is cleansed, for the end result, which is redemption and salvation, that glory is not our glory, but that glory is for us to glory in the Heavenly Father that created us and gave us his Son Christ to give us that mercy.
That's right. That's right, brother. You know what? I'm going to read one more scripture and close it out with this.
All right.
This is St. John 6:27. It says, labor not. All right, go ahead. I'll let you read it. St. John 6:27.
You said 6:27?
Yes, brother.
All right. St. John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed.
So that's what we're supposed to, our focus is supposed to be on, and that's what the blessings are going to be, not only for us, but for this whole world, is that we walk in Christ and we remain in Christ. And with that, we thank you for tuning in, and thank you, our brother Kadar, for helping us this on this show. And may the Most High in Christ bless you and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That will say
Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. UReach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.